Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Red Tent Wisdom. I'm your host, Cindy Harris, and I want to thank you for joining me. Today's topic is about the yin-yang principles of affluent love and romance. I have been studying the topic of men probably most of my life. Like I said, I love men. I think men are amazing. They're incredible. I'm a daddy's girl 100%. I was raised with two brothers. I raised three sons. My only grandchild is a grandson. And needless to say, I've been surrounded by male energy my entire life. And most of my friends growing up have been guys. I have really great, you know, female friends, and I've had great female friends growing up, you know, coming up throughout my life as well. But when it comes to the energy that's probably around, surrounds me the most, it is masculine energy. And that to me is really important, because when I talk about the topic of affluent love and romance, I speak in terms of bringing couples together that can truly be loving examples of, one, success, because success is not just about the money. Money is obviously great to have. I mean, money makes it possible to do so many wonderful, wonderful things. But it's a mindset of being able to be part of a couple that's team building, empire building, and doing great things together. So when I think in terms of the yin-yang principles of romance, it really is about the masculine and the feminine. Now, I talk quite a bit about, you know, the sensuality, sexuality, and really being at peace as a woman with your body tempo, with your state of mind, and just really learning how to love yourself. That is very, very important. You know, I love seeing all the different movements out there in reference to goddess reawakening and sacred femininity, but my issue with it is leaving out the masculine. Now, some will say, well, you know, we're run by this patriarch society. It's always about men, and, you know, they're running everything. That's not necessarily true, because, ladies, we have far more power than we realize once we learn how to embrace and appreciate the femininity that's ours in comparison to the masculine. The masculine has only been overrunning us because we have become ashamed of being women. We've become ashamed of that yin energy, which is very soft. It's very open. It's a allowing energy, which means we are in a state of surrender. And when I say surrender, I'm not saying that we're giving up and we're letting people treat us poorly. Nothing to do with any of that. That is in reference to self-esteem and how you feel about yourself personally. When I speak in terms of surrender, it's about learning how to be in that space to allow life to support you, to allow yourself to be in that position to understand when wisdom arrives into your life. It's being in that space to allow a man to treat you beautifully. You know, I look around us nowadays, and I just was recently online, and I'm no longer on doing online dating. I've had the pleasure of meeting somebody really great that I'm getting to know right now. But I briefly went online because I had been seeing the same person on and off for years. And at the end of last year, I came to the conclusion that I really was ready to be in that space to receive a really great man in my life that I could actually be myself with, who I could receive as himself, and really start building a relationship that's going to last long term. Now, that is done day by day. I don't go into this thinking that everything's going to happen perfectly immediately. It's a process. Learning how to be with somebody is a process. And for me, because I am so feminine, I understand that I need a man who is definitely masculine. 100% appreciates his masculinity. I do not deal well with men that are unsure of themselves in reference to being a man. And ladies, we're part of that problem. When women want men to you stand up and be a man, but when you're trying to act like a man too and you're tearing him down, that's not going to make it possible for him to show up in your life the way that you may want him to show up. Meaning, so many women want to be more feminine, but because our culture has taught us to be so masculine and our pursuits has taught us how to be basically pseudo-men, we have issues when we run across men that actually are very, very masculine. So when I talk about the terms of yin-yang, because like I said, believe me, I am yin. I know that. I am 100% female. I love being a woman. I make no apologies for being a woman. I love the ups and downs, ins and outs that go with being a woman. Yes, I have my emotional days. Yes, I have days when I know I make absolutely no sense whatsoever, because how we think in circles. As a woman, we're always multitasking in our heads. That's why I advocate meditation so much, because it gives us the time and a chance to actually just be still and let those thoughts just run off someplace else and leave us be. But you know, being a woman, there goes a lot of things go into it. We're very, very deep. When we allow ourselves to really be at peace with who we are and be in that space of femininity, we are complicated. We are complex. We don't always make a lot of sense. Whatever, if we learn how to just appreciate who we are and we're at peace, guess what? Clarity arrives, appreciation arrives, the respect that women are out there screaming for is automatically given. We don't have to ask for the things that we're fighting for, and this drives me nuts because I did put in the paragraph that there's a war against relationships that's being perpetuated in our country, and it's the truth. If you look at what's going on with relationships, it is hard for people to get together and stay together because they're clashing. There's confusion about the masculine and feminine roles. There's a reason why divine, why God, goddess, or the universe, whatever you want to call it, created masculine and feminine. We live in a society, we live in on a planet, basically. The energy of our planet right now is about polarities. There is duality to it. There's a reason for this. And for us to keep thinking that we're going to conquer this and change this is such a useless battle. It's such a waste of time and energy that we could be spending really doing great things with our counterparts, being men, with that masculine energy, if we can learn how to just benefit, be at peace with the femininity. There is no war. Just so you guys know, it's all propaganda. You know, I was telling a friend of mine last night, I go, I'm so over feminism. And for those of you that I may say that it may offend, I'll be honest, oh well. Because feminism has not done anything to really help us. It really hasn't. If you sit back and really look at the condition of our relationships with, in reference to men, if you look at the confusion going on with our children, if you look at all the stress and strife and health issues that we're having as women, feminism didn't do anything for us. It just caused us more problems. I'm all for the fact that we go out there and we're educated and we get equal pay for a job. I totally advocate that because if I'm doing a job, I should be getting paid the same amount as a man. No doubt about it. So this is not about the social issues. This is about the truth as to who we are as men and women. It's about learning how once again to embrace who we are. Being feminine, there's nothing weak about being a woman. We are far from weak. Far from it. For crying out loud, we give birth to babies. Come on, guys. I've had 3 children. Natural childbirth. No drugs. Trust me. It takes a lot of strength to pull that off. There's nothing weak about our bodies. There's nothing weak about our emotions. There's nothing weak about who we are. But we have to be in that position of appreciating who we are in reference to the masculine. Men are amazing. Like I said, when we learn how to appreciate the things that make them awesome, yes, they're not as complicated as we are. Definitely not. Men are complex, but they're not complicated. You know, if a man tells you something, listen to what he's saying because he's speaking his truth. You know, I talk to my clients and, you know, reference to relationships, and they're trying to read between the lines what their man is saying. I'm like, don't do that. There's no reason to. You know, I love the 4 agreements. You know, I love the 4 agreements because it talks about, one, don't take anything personal. I'm not going to go through all 4 of them. My favorite 2 are the middle 2 and 3. Don't take things personally and don't make assumptions. When we stop making assumptions, meaning as women, we stop trying to think that men are thinking like us and that they could potentially behave like us, because guess what? They don't. There's no way, shape, or form they're going to ever behave the way we do because they're just structured differently than we are. You know, if you think about back in the day when, you know, we were out there and, you know, the women were in the village doing what they were doing in reference to gathering and cooking and creating and, you know, households and weaving beautiful fabrics and doing things, you know, taking care of children and that sisterhood, that bond of really just being a team. And the men would go out for sometimes weeks on end to go hunting. If you know anything about hunting, you have to be still. You have to be quiet. You can't be out there chit-chatting. When you're hunting, you have to understand how to be downwind of the animals. I mean, there are all these techniques that men have to do that require them to be very focused. So while they're not out there, you know, looking for and searching for our food anymore, we just go to the grocery store, obviously, to pick up what we want. But that mindset, that makeup is in their DNA. So men, yes, they are very structured. They are very linear in their thinking. They are not really great multitaskers. I'm not saying the men are unable to multitask because some can, but for the most part, their multitasking takes place when they're doing their group decision, when they're having their group discussions. Once they make a decision, the decision is set and pretty much in stone until something comes along and makes it very, very aware to them, makes them aware of the fact that it's not going to work. And then they'll change tactics. But until they know that what they're doing isn't working, they're going to keep trying to do what they're doing. as women, we can look at it going, okay, we're going to multitask, we're going to talk to our friends, we're going to collectively, you know, come to conclusion. We multitask, we talk, that's what we do. And then we come up, but we're quick, we can make those adjustments quicker than men can. So when you understand that that's a team, that works together quite beautifully, meaning if you allow a man to be true to his nature and you allow yourself to be true to your nature, you can wind up with some really great team dynamics, which work not only in life but also in love. And I talk a lot about affluent love in reference to, like I said, because I believe in success. Women, we are out there making all kind of gains in reference to our income. We're making all kind of gains in reference to our education. And by all means, why would you not want to be with somebody that can appreciate what you're doing and also is doing his thing? And when I say affluent love and romance, I'm not saying that every single man that we're with is going to be at that, that is going to be wealthy on the spot. You might decide you want to be with somebody who I call a diamond in the rough, who's up and coming. I totally believe in it. But you want to be a team. You shouldn't be tearing this person down. And you have to also understand that you may be the one that's out there who's all about the entrepreneurship. You're the one that's out there that's all about business building. And your mate, the person who has to be in your idea mate, he may not be. He may be someone that prefers a 9-to-5 grind. More, you know, the more tried and true way of doing things. This is fine. Because once again, it's the yin and the yang. Because when you learn how to appreciate a person for who they are, and stop trying to change them, ladies, okay? Because if you stop and think about it, men don't, they're not out there trying to change us. We're always out there trying to fix them. Most of them don't need fixed, and the ones that we think need fixed are usually screwed up by one of us or several of us because the women, once again, keep thinking that men have to be hairy females. They're not, okay? That just drives me crazy. I'm like, stop. They're men. Let them be men. Find peace with that in yourself and let them just do themselves. So, I know it always cracks me up. I'm like, why can't he be more like, because they're not women. I'm like, I was laughing. Why can't, won't he change? Because he doesn't feel there's anything wrong. This is conversations with clients that always make me smile. I'm like, you've got to receive him for him. And that goes with any situation. A person will change when they're ready to change. If they feel the need to change. There's nothing we can do as women. As you know, because we always think we're flipping right. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we probably are because we're awfully intuitive. But you know what? We have to learn how to pull it back. And that's where that, once again, that yin principle comes in. Pulling back. Learning how, like I said, to just be in that space and be comfortable with waiting. Being in that space and being comfortable with listening. We can talk up a storm. We're not the best listeners at times. Yin, for the most part, is receiving. So in order to receive, you must learn how, like I said, to be still. Now, I know this flies in the face of everything that we've been taught. Like I said, I just turned 52 just a few days ago, and I'm of that generation where, you know, like I said, where we could do anything we wanted to do. We were busting through glass ceilings and all that good stuff. Got it. But I also know, once again, that really hasn't helped us because, once again, as I said earlier in my conversation, it's destroying our relationships. It's destroying our families. It's leaving our children out there not understanding how to be at peace with themselves. One of my sons made a comment about his generation. He goes, Mom, by the time my generation hits your age, he goes, there will be no couples. He goes, there will be no couples. He goes, because they're so in love with themselves. He goes, they basically date themselves. He goes, there's no conversation. He goes, there's no coming together to work collectively as a team. And my kids, my sons tend to be kind of old school. They're definitely my children. Because in relationships, I'm very old school. I believe in monogamy. Now, these are my personal views. I believe in monogamy. I'm not all into the polyamor, the poly whatever, polygamy, polygyny, whatever all that stuff is. That doesn't work for me. I believe in monogamy. Now, once again, my personal opinions. If yours are different, that's fine. You do you. But my sons are the same way. They're very old school because they understand that in order to build the team that they want with their significant other, they want to be with somebody who can appreciate them, who honors them and respects them. And because our girls, and I'm saying from my point of view, from having sons and listening to the stuff that they share with me, and even when I was online briefly, for the 2-3 weeks I was actually online, listening to the men tell me their stories about their dating experiences. They were off the chart. I was out with a gentleman. I went out on actually one date, and he was telling me that on the first date, women are telling him that, well, you have to take care of me. He doesn't know them. He's like, why? He's like, they're telling me that I have to take care of them. Why? I don't know you. He's like, he goes, don't get me wrong. He goes, I'm all about taking care of the woman that I'm with. He goes, I believe in that 100%. He goes, I'm very old school. He goes, he's been married a couple times. He goes, I've always taken wonderful care of my wives, you know, or my girlfriend, or my study girlfriend. He goes, but to expect that of me on the first date, that's how selfish we are becoming. That's how all into, you know, just me, we've become. The we is gone. And that's what I'm saying, the principles that there's a war against relationships, because the whole thing is, if you want to control people, is you destroy them by first busting them up and breaking them apart. You know, what is it? United we stand, divided we fall. There it is. United we stand, divided we fall. And that's what they're doing with our relationships. Because women are out there becoming more accomplished and more accomplished and more accomplished, but in the process, now we're thinking that we don't need men. This whole independent woman mantra speech and thing I steal over online and everywhere else. You know, being independent doesn't mean you have to be, that you cannot be with a man. It doesn't mean there's no need for relationship. Because all that rhetoric about independent woman, guess what? When they're sitting down in front of me and they're trying to figure out how and why the relationships are not, how to make a relationship work or why the relationships are not working, it's because the mindset of an independent woman doesn't leave room for there to be part of a couple. The yin yang. We have become so yin ourselves that we're not letting. And then if we have a man who manifests himself as the more yin process of it, women get mad. Oh, he's too much. He's too feminine. He's too feminine. He's too this. Well, guess what? You're leaving men no choice. Sometimes men are trying to adjust because they want to be with us. They're making adjustments in their personality that are not natural for them. So now they're coming across too soft. Now they're coming across too this. Now they're coming across confused because they don't know what we want. And guess what? Their whole thing is about making us happy. A man in love only wants to see his woman happy. I've heard this from thousands upon thousands of men because I've been doing this for 20-some-odd years, ladies. And like I said, I grew up in, you know, around men. I've known men. Like I said, I've got a lot of experience when it comes to men and how they think and what they want because they tell me. I don't get the sugar-coated stuff. I don't get the confusion. They tell me what's on their minds. And a man in love wants his woman to be happy. A man falling in love wants his woman to be happy. But the problem is when we are not learning how to be at peace with ourselves and to be softer so he can step up and be our hero and champion, there's a problem. The pictures that I included are in this episode. I have a picture of a samurai's warrior's armor and a geisha. And I'll talk probably more about that next week because the images that I use when I talk about the yin yang are the samurai and the geisha. And the reason being is, you know, the samurai, you know, he was this warrior. I mean, this very disciplined, very structured, very masculine, very elegant, intelligent warrior. And their beginnings were not the best. You know, they were basically mercenaries. They were like basically killers for hire back in the day. But they elevated themselves over the centuries to become something very, very beautiful, very elegant, very regal, and very wealthy. Actually, the samurai class was actually a very wealthy class back in Japan, you know, in their heyday. And the geisha culture was the same way. They came up. Their beginnings were not the, you know, the most, I don't know. They weren't the greatest either. You know, the geisha culture did start out as prostitutes, but they were prostitutes with a talent. And then they took themselves and elevated their status as well through learning how to understand and appreciate the feminine. So the samurai is the masculine, the geisha is the feminine. And by the way, lady, sex, there's nothing wrong with sex. Sex is actually pretty awesome. And when you learn how to bring it and experience it from the space of the feminine, from the yin, guess what? We flow. We flow in a way that is so inviting and so fun and so juicy and so, oh my God, amazing. I'm just saying, okay? Like I said, this is how I experience my life. The sexual side of it is mind-boggling in the most pleasant and pleasurable way. But that's only when we learn how to be at peace with our femininity and when we learn how to receive. And allow that man to step up and be masculine. Allow the man to step up and to please us. So, and I'll talk more about the samurai negation next week. But still, the geisha, so the samurai, like I said, was the masculine, the strong, the moving force that made change and brought things about. The geishas, as they progressed and became more developed and more skilled and, you know, really developed themselves, they are the epitome of the femininity. Now, while the samurai class, for the most part, is gone, you know, when modern warfare came into Japan, it basically just wiped out the samurai class. But the elements of that elegance and that discipline and that structure is still there. It's still being honored and respected. But the geishas are still there. Geisha still exists because in this culture of women becoming more masculine and harder and tougher, men are seeking a place to go where they can actually experience the yin, the feminine, the softer side of womanhood. That's why the geisha culture is still so popular in Japan. That's why there's still such a fascination around the world. Because they are the epitome. They are femininity. Now, these young ladies and these women, they work. You know, that whole culture is, I mean, back in the day, it took them 10 years from age 5 to 15 to learn the skill set to be geishas. And they still have to study. I mean, it's a very, very structured and disciplined life option, life choice. But their whole thing is about accentuating and really, truly sharing the experience of femininity with their patrons, because their patrons are men. They're usually, the businessmen, like CEOs, and then very successful businessmen that need a place to go where they can just simply be appreciated as being for being men. You know, geishas are about the conversation. They're about, you know, the entertainment. They're about being able to just sit and listen. Like I said, I'm just tipping the iceberg on this. And while some women would, you know, find fault and would find reasons to criticize this, understand that they're extremely successful. You understand that by them allowing themselves, by them taking on that truth and appreciating the femininity, they're extremely successful. And when they choose to leave that particular profession, because being a geisha is a profession, when they leave their profession, there are so many opportunities available to them. Doors open up to us, ladies. When we understand how to be in that space of yin, how to be in that space of femininity, we don't have to struggle and strive to accomplish things. That's why, like I said, once again, when I'm looking online, I'm looking at social media, and where I'm seeing all these quotes that are, you know, on women's pages that are basically men's quotes. You know, now the one that drives me the craziest is, you know, sometimes a king is a woman. I still don't understand that. I understand what it's supposed to mean, but I still don't understand why it's being said, because the queen is the most powerful position on the chessboard. If you play chess, you know that she's the one. Yes, she's there to protect the king, but she has the ability to move. She's flexible. She can move all over that chessboard. She can go one step ahead, two steps ahead, backwards, forwards, sideways, diagonal, whatever. She can do whatever she wants. Queen is the most powerful position on the chess game because she is intuitive wisdom. Men have their own style of intuition, but ladies, we are the gatekeepers. Remember this, because of how human beings are born into this world, we are the gatekeepers between the world of spirit and 3D, basically. We are the gatekeepers. Whether you have children or not, we still have that space within us. So learning how to appreciate this is what I'm going to be talking about this probably all year, because it's a topic that I feel just needs to be addressed, because I'm watching women just fall apart in health-wise, and they're so unhappy. So unhappy. And there's no reason to be. Like I said, we are magnificent. Understand this always. I love us. I love being a woman. I probably, from what I understand, I was laughing. I remember one time I was sitting down with a woman. She was a medium, a psychic. And it was so funny. She's doing my read. And she's looking, and she goes, huh. I was like, uh-oh. I go, what's the huh? She goes, I've never seen this before. She goes, because she had the ability to see past lives, and I've got a couple of friends that actually can do this too. She goes, I'm looking at this. She goes, I've never seen someone who's never shown up as a man at least once or twice in their past lives. She goes, you've always been a woman. I'm like, that doesn't surprise me. I love men. I think they're fabulous. I go, but I don't want to be one. There are way too many cool things to go with being a woman for me to ever want to be a man. And plus, I love the way they protect me. I love the way men protect me. I love the way men honor me and cherish me. And how they allow me to do the same for them. You know, one of the things that makes me happy is to see a man smile. I love when a man feels at ease and he's sitting with me and he can just seriously relax. He knows he can say whatever is on his mind. I'm not going to judge. I just, you know what? Be yourself. None of us are perfect. We all have things we're working on. That's why we come to Earth. We come here to experience life and to whatever life lessons we've chosen for this lifetime. There is no perfection. So you got to learn how to be the best you possible. And that starts with stop trying to fight nature. There is no shame in being a woman. There is no shame in wanting to be in a relationship. I listen to women talk. When a friend meets a guy, and I've heard the conversations women have. Well, I can't believe you're dating him. You know your history with men. You know how we can be. We're not very kind sometimes to our friends when they fall in love. We talk about being kind to each other. We talk about loving each other and supporting each other. We need to start being supportive, too, when it comes to romance. Hey, she may not get it right with that particular guy, but still, at least she's out there and willing to try. She's not so banged up and so hardened by past experiences that she's unwilling to give love a try. That was what I was hearing when I was talking to the handful of people I talked to when I was doing the online dating. It was the fear. It's the past hurts and pain that men have caused women and women have caused men. When we learn, once again, we'll say it again, when you learn how to be at peace with who you are, love, live, rejoice, play in your personal space of being you. We're all uniquely beautiful. Doesn't matter. Size, shape, color, whatever. Doesn't matter. We're all uniquely beautiful. And men love that about us, by the way. You know, we're all trying to look the same. I'm obsessed with Instagram. I love Instagram. But I laugh because right about now, almost every flippin' young woman looks like Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian is beautiful. I think she's a beautiful young woman. But Kim Kardashian is Kim Kardashian. But so many little girls, or young women, are trying to look like Kim Kardashian. We need to start setting a role model that allows our young women to be themselves. And it only happens by us being at peace with who we are. So with the yin-yang principles of affluent love and romance, I guess I'm going to be talking about this probably for the next few weeks, I want you to understand that it's okay to be successful. It's okay to have a great career. It's wonderful to have one to be on, you know, on trend to building a business. But there's no reason for you to exclude romance and love from your life. Be at peace with who you are. Allow a man to show up and be your partner. Allow him to bring his special brand of excellence into your life. This is a big deal. Like I said, I mean, I've got a whole website on this. It's called Wealthy Wife. I did a book on this called Wealthy Wife, Meeting, Dating, and Marrying a Rich Man. And the book is not quite what people were expecting. They're kind of like, oh my gosh, you really get into topics that we don't even think about in reference to romance. I'm like, yeah. It is a how-to book of learning how to be at peace with the mindset of dating affluence, the mindset of being okay with money. It's about learning how to appreciate yourself and what makes you so special and spectacular. And it also teaches about how to understand what assets really are in life. Guess what? A closet full of Louis Vuitton shoes and Birkin bags is not success, ladies. You know what I'm saying? They're great tools. They're fun to have. They're wonderful play toys. But that's not a mark of true success. That shows that you know how to spend some serious cash and acquire some beautiful things. But guess what? The resale value. You know what I'm saying? So that's something totally different that I'll talk about on a totally different show. But learning how to really, really, really claim your love and romance, that's going to help you build the empire of your dreams. So I'm going to close this out, but go ahead and check out the Wealthy Wife website. It literally is wealthywife.com. Go take a look at the website. I've got a few things up there right now. I'm in the process of teaching a six-week course right now. The max is going to turn into a home study course. So the home study course isn't ready just yet, but it will be ready probably sometime by the end of next week. Take a look at it. I want you to read through what my definition of a wealthy wife is. She is a woman who really is confident and understands who she is. It takes time. It takes training. It takes coaching to understand how to be at peace as a woman, because we've been trained to be anything but at peace with our womanhood. So until we talk again next week, once again, this is Cindy Harris here at Red Tint Wisdom. Thank you ever so much for joining me. I love having you guys here. I really, really do. If you have any questions, just go to the website and send me an email. Talk to you soon. Wishing you much love and unlimited joy. Bye-bye.